Welcome back for another episode of the Happy at Work podcast with Laura, Tessa, and Michael.
Each week, we have thoughtful conversations with leaders, founders, and authors about happiness at work.
Tune in each Thursday for a new conversation. Enjoy the show.
Everyone, to the Happy at Work podcast. We are so excited to be joined by a friend of ours who actually took the Positive Workplace course that both Michael and I teach together at Harvard Professional Development Program, Andrea Kehoe. Nice to have you with us. Andrea is the Director of Operations Administration at Kettering University, and she really does lead a lot of the work as it relates to satisfaction and fulfillment of the employees, I assume. So we're just so thrilled, Andrea, that you're here with us to have a little conversation about your work and see what we can learn from all of your great practices that you employ there at Kettering University. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to see you both and great to have the opportunity to discuss this with you.
Wonderful. So let's take a step back and just first of all, can you just give us a little bit of your background and what's been your career journey that's led you to having more of an interest in really thinking about how to engage and really help employees feel satisfied in their work?
Absolutely. So I sort of flipped the script a little bit and did my stay-at-home mom chapter first. And during that time was, you know, freelancing, doing some part-time work, some volunteer work, and really making sure that whatever I was taking on fit with my family and our lifestyle. And so that flow was very important to me from the beginning. As the kids got older, I stepped up my career. That led me to an executive admin position at Kettering in 2017. I was blessed to have leaders who trusted me and saw potential in me and gave me opportunities to cross-collaborate and do some pretty big project management early on after joining the university. And, as my skill set grew, my understanding grew, took another job within that department, and then ultimately was appointed to this position in December of 22. So, just prior to that, our president had kind of noticed that coming out of the pandemic, we just sort of had a little bit of cultural meh, is sort of what he referred to it as. Like things just weren't as vibrant as they could be, should be, used to be. And he really prioritized addressing that and pulled together this working group of employees from every department, every level. We had HR, business office, IT, you know, everybody represented and really came together on a weekly basis to talk about what's going on. How do we fix it? What are the issues that you see? And that prioritization from that level was huge in getting things rolling. And when he created this position, partly as a result of those conversations, then I sort of took over those efforts and have been leading them since.
I like the cultural myth.
Yeah, it was off. You know, we were coming back to campus more and we were trying to get back to normal, but we had forgotten what was normal or some of what used to be normal no longer applied. And we were just kind of floating out there a bit.
And how have you found coming to take the Positive Workplace class or just looking at anything that, mm-hmm. that is based in positive psychology, what did you try and what's worked? What's been your experience?
Yeah, so we came at it from a lot of different directions. Those conversations were huge, just creating cross-collaborative opportunities for people to understand, you know, you might have this frustration from a university advancement lens, but the reason why we can't do this thing that you want to see happen is because it really negatively impacts, say, the business office at a time when they're already overloaded on things that they need to do. So sort of understanding the academic year cadence and the fiscal year cadence for different departments and those challenges that they had, creating those opportunities to build relationships and have conversations, but also brainstorm ideas and say, you know, I've always thought, wouldn't it be cool if we did this? And, oh, that's so funny. We were talking about that in our break room the other day. So bringing people together in different ways was huge. We also did, after much discussion, because there was a lot of survey fatigue, especially from faculty, we ultimately did do a survey that said, hey, let's just strip this down to a very basic level. And the only question on our survey was, if we could do anything, what are three things that we could do to improve your satisfaction and fulfillment at work? And, you know, we didn't have to get too much into data or anything like that. It was like, we were really being like, lay it all out there. And what was really interesting about that was the responses that we saw were matching national trends that you had shared in class about, you know, sort of like, what does it look like and what does it feel like and what's the remote versus on-site schedule and adaptability and things like that. And then from that survey, we took action and we systematically went through. If there was something that related to an HR concern, HR reached out to that person and had those conversations and clarified things and made things better. Facilities would had a list. Anybody that said they wanted fresh paint in their office, facilities went around and put fresh paint in their office. And, you know, obviously some things were a lot easier to do. Some things were outside of our purview to do. But giving somebody an opportunity to say, here's what I need, here's what would help, and then crossing as many of those off the list as we could.
I think that's really fascinating. And honestly, it's almost the genius is in the simplicity of just asking the question, give me three things that would just help you to become more engaged at work or happier at work. And, you know, even just, I need a fresh coat of paint on my walls in my office and being able to do those things. And I would imagine just them seeing the responsiveness of the university to really listening and hearing what those types of requests were is probably 90% of where that satisfaction comes from. Yes, it's nice to actually get the walls painted, but it's also the fact that you heard them and really listened to what they needed. And I'm just really curious, looking at it from a higher ed industry perspective, because I was teaching with Michael at the same university throughout the entire course of the pandemic. And for us, we were actually needing to continue in classroom teaching because we were in an international college throughout the entire pandemic, where a lot of universities went completely online. And so it did create, I think, a lot of burnout and also a lot of discordance between faculty and administrative staff who would be, you know, administrative staff who would be able to be flexible and work from home, but faculty had to show up and teach in the classroom. It created some issues. So I'm just super curious, from your perspective, how do you kind of bridge those gaps in understanding and just really helping faculty and administration get together and to really understand each other's kind of situation and to be able to work in a collaborative way moving forward?
Yeah, like I said, I think a lot of it is just those working groups of, you know, let's look at it from your perspective and what can I learn from that, instead of let me tell you how it impacts me. Really listening to another perspective. The other thing that we really engaged in, and it was low-hanging fruit, but it really had a huge impact, was increasing the events that we were doing on campus that were geared toward faculty and staff. Just a release of having fun and seeing one another. And, you know, we were very fortunate. Some of the new people that we hired were really energized. They didn't know what it was like before. And I assist with a lot of the hiring, especially of administrative staff, and was hiring a new events team. And I was telling them as I was interviewing and onboarding, you know, we're really working to improve our culture. We really want everybody to be involved in that and to share your ideas. And, you know, I really see my position as being the conduit of information between employees and leadership, and even just for somebody, if they're not certain about the idea, they're like, maybe this is crazy. Because I started in more of an entry-level position and have worked my way up, I think that I'm less threatening and I have a reputation for being open and collaborative to things. So my favorite story to share about that is we had an employee who her mother is actually a longtime employee of the university, and she had hired in, and she said, you know, we used to have trick-or-treating at Halloween, and everybody would bring their kids and their grandkids, and it was really cool. Can we do that? And I had a new event planner who, huge Halloween fan too. And, you know, they started talking about it and generating all this buzz, and they got other people involved. And the next thing we know, we're having this big trick-or-treating thing on campus, which was really fun for people who were new to the university, but it was also a sign of that not everything was changing, but we were revisiting the things that had worked in the past for those who had been there long term. And so, you know, giving everybody an opportunity to be part of the solution has been huge.
That's so interesting that you're trying so many things. I just wanted to pull out for our listeners that what Andrew is doing really well, that a lot of people surprise me. They don't just ask the people who are working there, what do you want? What would you like? There's usually this mind reading exercise of, well, maybe a ping pong table or maybe free beers, and just ask. What you also thought was really great was letting people have the autonomy to lead a task. So you're going to do an event, having someone who's really into it, have them take the ownership over that. So you're doing a lot of things right, which is why we asked you on the show. And what I did want to ask were, telling us about some surprises. That did you try some things that you're like, oh my God, that worked so well, I wasn't expecting that, or I thought that was going to work great and it did not at all. So any surprises, good or bad, that we can share?
Yeah, I think actually the two comments are a perfect cross section, because what I found is sometimes people are very willing to put ideas out there, but if they don't believe in it enough to say, I'm willing to lead the charge on this one, we won't get enough traction and it won't happen. I don't have the bandwidth to take every good idea and run with it. So it's really identifying a champion or a couple people who really want an opportunity to work together, because maybe they're in different departments and they don't often get to do that, or they have previous experience with something similar at a former workplace. So getting those champions that buy in is really big. There have been times where we've been in a working group meeting and there's all this chatter about, yeah, that would be so great, let's do that. And then I'll pause and I'll say, okay, who would like to take the lead? And then it's crickets. And that's when you know we're not ready yet, or it's not the right time, or we need to scale it back, or maybe we just bookmark that one and we'll circle back to it at another time, because we'll have another idea that kind of works in conjunction with it. And we do have a champion for that. And it's maybe somebody who can rally other people to get on board and support it.
So my question really also comes back though to leadership. So one of the biggest challenges that a lot of folks that we talk to have is that they see, you know, kind of as you did, a lot of opportunity for improvement to really think about the culture. Obviously, kind of involving a lot of folks in these working groups, it's more of a grassroots effort, it kind of sounds like, to kind of get people to kind of take control of their own situation and be able to make things better. But from a leadership perspective, how do you think, or what advice would you give to organizations, especially people who are kind of in that middle to maybe vice president level, who see a lot going on, but need to now tell the dean or the president or, you know, of the organization to say, this is what's happening. And if we don't do something soon, we're going to have either a lot of attrition or mm-hmm. we're going to not attract a lot of top talent to our university or our company. So what are your thoughts as to how to get leadership on board to understand if there's an issue, or how to really maybe put a little bit of an investment into culture, into people, in a way they may not have in the past?
Yeah, I think for us, it was the creation of this position, which, you know, is very much in the middle. But I meet with the working group on a regular basis. I also am able to attend our cabinet meetings. And so I have that opportunity to be with leadership on a regular basis and to talk through things as they pertain to different departments or different events, our calendar, things like that. So it really, it's not a difficult equation. It really boils down to communication the clear conduit for it and the collaboration and prioritizing it, saying that this is a need. It's not just, you know, I like to come at it from a perspective of every once in a while, work should feel like the best days of elementary school, right? It should be like that Valentine party where everybody's, you know, swapping cards or things like that. It's not practical to do that all the time. And you can't necessarily make a case with the university president or vice president that, hey, I want to throw a party. Trust me, it's going to help everything. But the truth is, when you are investing in your people and you're creating meaningful relationships at work and opportunities for people to know one another and support one another and be involved, it does change all of those things. You know, productivity goes up, retention goes up, and we're seeing that.
So I just want to ask a quick follow-on to that, because I'm also really curious about the correlation that has with the students. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really understanding that if you're really caring for your employees and that they're happier at work and feeling more engaged, what have you seen as far as how the faculty are with students, the energy that might be on campus that really does impact the experience of the students? Can you talk a little bit about what you've seen from that perspective?
Absolutely. I mean, we are all there because of the students. Whether we're student facing or not, it is all of our jobs to provide for the students and create an atmosphere that is, you know, academically rigorous and safe and enjoyable and supportive. And it has changed. You know, we had employee appreciation recently, and a student commented to a staff member that they work with regularly, "It's so nice to see all of you having fun. You do so much for all of us. It's really nice to see you being celebrated." And because we're a pretty small institution, we do have, all of us do have a lot of interaction with the students and have an opportunity to build relationships. And I think the way our attitude has changed about, let's try to say yes as much as possible. We do that with our students too. You know, they come up with some really wild ideas of events that they want to do and short timelines that they want to turn a fundraiser around on. And we lean into yes first. And, you know, we might have to tweak some things to make it happen, but and they respond to that. So it has been beneficial for the students and those relationships on campus.
I like this. We lean into yes. That's my default. I love that. And I wanted to circle back to really the whole reason that you were starting this exploration of trying positive workplace strategies and other ideas. So what's happened to the cultural myth? How's it gone?
It's gone.
Really? It's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a lot of work to do. There are larger things to tackle, and we have very engaged leadership that are handling those larger items. They just take more time, but I think that there's more opportunity for more people to be involved. There's space for ideas to percolate. And we're a little bit further out from the pandemic too. So the cadence of remote work schedules and things like that have settled in, and we've learned how to move forward. So we're in a good place with enthusiasm to handle the things that remain.
And for the people that are listening that are living through a cultural meh right now, what are the first one or two steps you suggest they do to get to where you are?
Bring people together. Let the issues that you have come to light in a safe space where you can just throw it all out there. And, you know, every once in a while you get a comment that might be strictly within one individual. But sometimes when you give it the space, you realize, gosh, there's really a lot of people that feel that way, or that's missing for a lot of people. That should be a priority that we address.
So one quick piece that you kind of mentioned, but I want to circle back around to before we bring this to an end is the fact that you mentioned that you had started at a pretty entry-level position and that you were able to work your way up and that you really felt, in using your words, blessed that you had the managers that you did that really saw this potential in you and really fostered this environment. And I really think what you're describing goes hand in hand with employee engagement, satisfaction, productivity is not just, yes, from a cultural perspective, we're really listening and doing the things you want to do, but from a opportunities perspective, there's internal mobility opportunities for you to move through this organization. And if you work hard, you can reskill, upskill, and really, you know, have a wonderful career, and that you're not kind of pigeonholed into a certain role. So not to take us too far off course from the culture conversation, but I do think that is such an important piece to employee satisfaction, is understanding these kind of opportunities for internal mobility. And what is it that you're, if you can kind of reflect on your own situation, what were some of the signals that you got from your manager that they wanted you to do more? How did they embrace the ideas that you brought to them? How were you able to kind of upskill for those future roles? What were just some of the things that happened that enabled you to say, yeah, I can keep rising in this organization and I'm supported?
Yeah, it's been everything, because now I oversee the administrative staff. And so, you know, that tends to be a high turnover position, and higher ed institutions are traditionally pretty lateral. And so I'm able to take that experience where I had, you know, my skill set was valued and it was verbalized, and I was encouraged to reach out to people in different areas to learn more in order to help my department. I was included in, we were planning to celebrate the centennial for the anniversary shortly after I arrived at the university, and was allowed to act sort of as a project manager for that. And that, again, it was that opportunity to be meeting with the assistant provost on a regular basis, be meeting with the marketing team on a regular basis, and to start to understand how things impact the university as a whole. And that knowledge goes with you, right? I would so much rather invest in someone and have them grow within our institution than take everything we taught them and apply it somewhere else. You know, if I have an admin who wants to grow in another department, they already have institutional knowledge. They already understand our academic calendar, which is different than a lot of universities. They understand the dynamics. They understand our student body and things like that. So it's really like doing the investment early on so that it becomes easier as they grow within the institution.
Your words to every CEO's ears, I swear to God, because what you just said, while it seems simple, makes so much sense. And I really agree that the institutional knowledge, if you're not doing things to really engage and let people know their worth in the jobs that they're at, that they will take that institutional knowledge and they'll apply it somewhere else. And it's so much more cost effective, really, to spend a little bit more time, money on upskilling and learning and development and professional development and retain someone than to try to replace someone who also took that institutional knowledge with them. So super interesting. Michael?
And so, Andrew, my final question for the show today will be this one. Imagine that every CEO in the world is listening to you now. And they're the KPI people, the money, the numbers, the metrics, and they sort of see positive psychology at the workplace as this sort of tree huggy, nice thing. What would you say to them to encourage them to consider using positive psychology at the workplace in things that they value? What would you say to them?
Again, I don't think it's rocket science. I think it boils down to take care of your people. And your people take care of the organization. You know, good people that feel supported, that feel valued, put forth their best effort and do their best work. And that can only have a positive impact.
You're absolutely right. Wonderful. Andrea, this has been an amazing half hour. The time's gone so fast, but thank you so much for joining us. And as I said at the top of the podcast, that you were with us in our course, The Positive Workplace at Harvard. And it's just so nice to see you, what's it been, about 9 months later, just to see how well you're doing and to hear about your experiences within your university. So thank you so much for coming back and sharing with us.
And Andrea, it's just to echo those things, as teachers, and we've all taught, it's the appreciation in seeing someone grow So to watch you take something out of the classroom into the real world and watch it work is amazing. So we appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you'd like to hear future episodes, be sure to subscribe to the Happy at Work podcast and leave us a review with your thoughts.
Are you interested in speaking on a future episode or want to collaborate with us? Let us know. You can send us an email at admin@happyatworkpodcast.com.
And lastly, follow us on LinkedIn or Twitter for even more happiness. See you soon.